All right, you are tuned in to KGLR Green Light Radio. I am here with Larry Carlton, famous guitarist, jazz musician, all-around producer. Thank you, Larry, for joining us today.
Yeah, glad to be with you.
We're honored to be able to talk with a decorated veteran of the music industry. We're actually pretty new to a lot of interviews these days, and this is an honor for us, so thank you again.
Thank you.
Now, I could sit here and name a lot of the artists you've worked with, but some that stick out of my head, for me personally, are Sammy Davis Jr., Jerry Garcia, and Quincy Jones. But who are some of the more memorable or profound artists you've worked with, you know, in your mind?
Yeah, you know, Rocky, my studio career was basically back in the 70s and early 80s. But there were some highlights, especially for me. The Steely Dan albums that I did, the Royal Scam in Asia with them. I did the Nightfly with Donald Fagen. And Joni Mitchell's albums, I did four of those albums in the 70s, Court and Spark, Hejira, Hissing of Summer Lawns. And I actually played on one cut on Off the Wall that Quincy Jones produced for Michael Jackson. And back in the 70s, like I say, I was busy, so I never knew from session to session who I was going to be playing for, and all of a sudden I would show up, and it would be songs for Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah, I read actually in Wikipedia, somewhere between the 70s and early 80s, it says on there that you were doing 500 recordings a year at one point. Is that true?
It is. The way the recording schedules worked back then, sessions were called as three-hour blocks. So I would do three or four of those three-hour sessions a day. So that would average between 15 and 20 sessions a week for different artists.
And this was just laying down guitar tracks for different artists that were already written out and everything, or...?
Well, you know, a lot of them were arranged. It would be the rhythm section come in, or sometimes it would be the full band there with the singer. And there would be charts, and sometimes just chord charts. A lot of my time, they wanted me just to play guitar fills, you know, whatever I felt, while everybody else was playing some written parts.
Right. I noticed you also have written a fair amount of TV theme songs out there.
Actually, I personally have only written one, and that's the theme for that television show called Who's the Boss?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and that's still running in syndication all around the world. And then I was a composer and did the score for the movie Against All Odds.
Nice.
The co-composer on that was Michelle Colombier. We did it together. And we were nominated for a Grammy for that also.
Nice. Now, you grew up in Torrance, California, correct?
That's right.
Tell us what it's like growing up. I mean, that's basically a suburb of L.A., is that correct?
That's correct, just south of Los Angeles, and it was just a normal neighborhood, kids riding bikes, doing the normal, playing baseball, and junior high school was a four-minute walk from our house, so it was just brought up in the suburbs.
Nice. Now, did you start your career there?
I actually started taking guitar lessons when I was six, and then obviously lived in the suburbs there, and I was doing talent shows as a young guitar player, and then I started playing in supper clubs and at parties. By the time I was 14 years old, I was working weekends with older musicians, so I've always been a guitar player.
Now, on a change of subject, I read in the late 80s, after you had opened your own studio, what was that, 335?
Yeah, I had room 335.
335, yeah, okay.
That was actually in the late 70s I opened that.
Okay. Well, I had read in the late 80s you were the victim of random gun violence.
That's right. I had a home in the Hollywood Hills, and my studio was in the basement of that home. And one day I was in the front office part, and we had the door ajar so the fresh air could come in, and I saw a couple of kids, looked to be about 14 years old, looked like they were jogging with their dog, so I was going to go close the door so their dog wouldn't come in our office. And when I got to the door, one of the kids had pulled a gun from behind his back and shot me, and then they ran off. So, I had about nine months of rehabilitation, and it was not a fun time, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's been, you know, what, 22 years now, so
yeah.
Very thankful to be here.
I heard you started a foundation based around that.
We did, and we ran that for almost 3 years. It was called HIP, Helping Innocent People. See, I was the innocent victim of a violent crime. And so we did benefit concerts and made huge donations when we started it. But after about 3 years, we realized to continue this nonprofit at the level it was functioning was just going to take too much time away from what I really do, which is make music.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Change of gears here. Now, this is a question we ask every artist in all of our interviews. How do you feel about music piracy and the act of taking music off the internet?
Yeah, obviously my initial reaction is that's not fair.
Right.
I compose a song. I produce the song. I own the song. I should reap the rewards of that creation.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's unfair, but I also realize that it is what it is, and that's the way the world goes now. So we have to figure out some other way to compensate the creators of the art and let the people enjoy the art.
Right.
But it's a little lopsided right now.
Yeah, it definitely seems off kilter. No one really seems to know what to do.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Hmm. Now, you've won 3 Grammys, correct?
That's right.
And you've been nominated for, I believe, 8, was that correct?
18.
18, okay.
Uh-huh, thank
Add
you.
10, okay. Now, I couldn't figure out what 3 songs were the winners of those Grammys.
Yeah, the first one was the theme to Hill Street Blues with Mike Post.
Okay,
Mike composed that song, but I played the very first episode and kind of created the sound around the piano part. So a couple of years later, we did a single and we won a Grammy for that.
Nice.
And then in 1987, off from my Discovery album, I did a cover version of the Doobie Brothers' Minute by Minute, and I won Best Pop Instrumental Performance that year. And then in 2001, I won a Grammy with my good buddy, the guitarist from Toto, Steve Lukather. We did a live album together, and we won the Best Pop Instrumental Album for that year.
Nice. Nice. Now, you're doing a tour currently, correct?
Yes, yeah, starts in June overseas and then come back to the States.
Okay. Now, we see that you're coming to Boulder, here in Boulder, on April 29th.
Perfect.
At the Boulder Theater.
That's right.
Tell us, what can we expect from your live show?
Well, it's great because about 3 years ago now, I did a live album with one of my favorite guitarists, Robin Ford. Great, great, great guitarist. And Robin and I toured that whole year, and he's going to be my special guest at the Boulder Theater. So all the guitar fans are going to get to see Robin and I together, and it's a pretty powerful show, and it's also unique, so you don't often get to see the two of us together.
Sounds exciting. I definitely look forward to checking that out when you come into town.
Yeah, thanks.
Now, here's another question we always like to ask people. Where do you see yourself in 2 to 3 years?
Well, hopefully doing exactly what I'm doing now, which is producing and making music and playing my guitar around the world. As long as my health holds up, that's still my passion. I've just finished 2 projects over the last 3 months, working at my studio here at the house, so I can go on tour all summer and have projects already finished. So I'm a busy guy making music. That's what I love to do.
What projects do you currently have in the works?
Yeah, I just finished one that will be released June 2nd. With the most famous Japanese guitarist ever. His name is Tak Matsumoto, and he's a superstar guitarist in all of Asia. And we did a guitar album together.
Nice.
And then this really cool project that will probably come out in August. It's called The Sounds of Philly. And what I did is I played instrumental versions of 11 of the great Gamble and Huff tunes, all those hits that the Spinners and the Stylistics and all those groups had. I've done an instrumental album of those great songs.
Nice. And okay, so where can people find all of this? Where can people get your albums? I'm assuming every major record store, correct?
Yeah, and also it's on the internet now. It's really easy to go to LarryCarlton.com, and everything that I have available, including my teaching DVDs, are right there to be had. It's not difficult.
All right, well, that is all the questions we had lined up for you today, Larry. I greatly appreciate your time here for this interview.
Yeah, my pleasure, man. I hope everybody really enjoys the show with Robin and I.
Yeah, definitely. And that's at the Boulder Theater, April 29th, for everyone out there.
Perfect, Rocky.
Cool. Well, I plan to be at the show. This will be actually the first time I get to see a jazz guitarist growing up on metal and hip-hop. So this will be nice.
Cool. I hope you enjoy it, man.
Yeah,
I'll see you there.
Will. All right, man. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.